Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Probably more difficult. If I had to say it's going to be more difficult for one of the others, it's going to be more difficult for Stidham, just because, you know, when you're the backup, you know, outside of training camp, you just don't get the reps. And that's really what it's about, playing quarterback. It's about repetition so that you know what's going to happen before it happens. Tom has more experience than anybody that's ever played the position of quarterback. And so he's going to be able to do that fairly quickly. I think for Stidham, though, missing those reps, I think, is really important. And then it's going to make it more difficult for him. But I know they think highly of him, and they'll give him a lot of help. But those are certainly very, very important practices that he's having to miss.
All right, that was Drew Bledsoe, part of Brady Week this week, talking about who's going to hit the ground running, either Brady or Stidham. And he pointed out that Stidham doesn't get a lot of reps, although this year, Belichick went out of his way to point out that Brady missed a bunch of practices and Stidham had to fill in during the week, so he got more reps than the ordinary backup would get.
Which we awkwardly heard about in season, which seemed so out of character for Belichick, who is just so hesitant to give you anything medically related about any of the players at any time during the season. Just begrudges everyone having to put out the damn injury report, and we're not entirely sure he's 100% truthful on that. But when he said that Tom couldn't finish practices, and that Stidham, or Stid, which is what he called him at the time, had to come in and help out, that was the first sign that I thought Belichick doesn't want to build on a 40. Belichick's not building around a 43-year-old anymore. And I don't care how great he is.
Well, and part of it, too, is you hear all the outrage from the fans, the media. Oh, Brady doesn't have the weapons. The offensive line stinks. Maybe Belichick was putting out there, say there's more to this story than just the receivers aren't great and the offensive line isn't great. Maybe some of it has to do with my older quarterback. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you, the number 617-779-7937. If you're just joining us, just want to let you know that President Trump, of course, met today, or I should say on a conference call today, with the commissioners of 12 major sports leagues. Adam Schefter had in the conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday. President Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski also had this. Adam Silver told those on the Trump conference call that the leagues were the first to shut down and that they would love to lead the way in starting the economy once there was an all clear.
Okay, I need to also share this as well. This is on the piece that Schefter just churned out for ESPN.com as well. Trump also raised the idea of the leagues working together to lobby for tax credits that used to exist for fans, such as the ability to deduct concessions and tickets from taxes, sources said. That would be a way for leagues to jumpstart fans' ability to return to stadiums in a difficult economy. So yes, Barrett, finally my dream can be realized. Tickets, but especially beers at ball games, can be a write-off. I will be back. I will be at every game going forward. You will see me and many other mass holes out there at any available game possible if we know we can write off our stubs, our dogs, and especially our beers.
You're not kidding. Now, this is obviously a moving target, so to speak, that we don't know how fast things are going to get back to normal or whatever. So this is what President Trump, and he's talked with all these experts, is predicting at this point in time. The thing that sticks out to me is the fact that Adam Silver says that they would like to lead the way in starting the economy once they get the, quote, all clear from public health officials, which makes me think, and the president pointed out the fact to the commissioners, as Adam Schefter reported, that August and September, they're looking at the possibility of those months where you can have fans back in the stands and you can actually have sporting events take place again. That makes me think, based on what we heard from Adam Silver, what Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting, is that the NBA would be willing to restart the season in August, maybe have an abbreviated couple of games, and then getting into the postseason, that Silver and company feel like, okay, let's get this back on track. Let's get our guys back on into the court, and that they're going to be pushing, even if it is all the way back in August, and of course the finals usually in June, that the NBA would like to restart things. Now, I don't know how plausible that would be, but I would imagine the NBA ratings would go absolutely through the roof if they're the main sport that returns in August, because of course you're going to have baseball, but that's going to take a spring training to get going. Mm-hmm. Football starts in September. The ratings, and we've had big ratings in recent NBA finals. Can you imagine what the ratings would be in the NBA playoffs if they actually do come back
through the
in
roof.
August?
So through the roof. And I have to take a moment real quick to just, you know, for fans, for big hockey fans, like Ken Laird of the morning show here at the Greg Hill Show, and every other hockey hardo, and the diehard Bruins fans who just might have potentially one of the best Bruins teams taken out from underneath them. I feel so bad. I mean, like, look, I'm not the biggest hockey fan in the world. I love the Bruins.
Right.
I especially get excited, like most people do, to hear Doc Emmerich's voice come late March and then throughout the spring into the early summer. And I thought this Bruins team was poised for a Stanley Cup run. It's such a bummer that it looks like the NHL might get the kibosh might get put on the season. But to your point about the NBA, oh man, guy, the ratings would be astronomical. And think about how interesting these playoffs could be, Brian, because now you might start NBA playoffs, if they can come back, let's say at some point in July. I don't know if they'd have a couple warm-up games. If you just treat the end of the regular season like a secondary preseason, then you get right into the playoffs. Think about how interesting the landscape would be. Every star will be healthy. That could possibly include Kyrie and KD in Brooklyn. Yeah. They could be the most dangerous seven seed in history. And the Celtics, hopefully Kemba's knee will be good. You'll have Tatum and Jaylen fresh as lettuce, ready to go. I think the playoffs would be, I'll just go out and say it, the hot take alert. I think the playoffs would be even better at this point than they would have been if they were played on time.
They would be, without question, the most anticipated NBA playoffs in the history of the league. No doubt about
in
that.
History.
Like, we've had finals that everybody was looking forward to, obviously, in the 80s with Magic and Bird, and then whenever Jordan was in the finals.
Yep.
So we've had a lot of hyped finals, but nothing would be like the totality of the playoffs in terms of the hype level that we would get if the NBA actually returned. So what Adam Silver does by saying that makes me think that he's going to go out of his way to get the season back on track. To your point about the Bruins, that to me would be the unfortunate loser at all this if the NHL season. It doesn't look, if we're not going to have arenas open until August and September, it's going to be awfully difficult to do both the NBA and the NHL because so many of these teams share arenas. And to your point, if the Bruins season doesn't get back underway, and the NBA, I know this is something that Adam Silver's hoping for, but there's a really good possibility that the NBA season never gets back underway either.
Yeah.
And when you look at it from a Bruins perspective, quite frankly, I thought the window had shut on them with this core after they lost Game 7 of the Blues. I was shocked to see the way they came out this season. They've been the best team in the NHL all season long. But to your point, you think about the core, it's older with Krejci, with Bergeron, with Char. I get you have really good young players like Pasta, like McAvoy, etc., like Carlo. I get all that. But this was your year to get back to the Cup. This team obviously was feeding off the motivation of losing mm-hmm. last year, and mm-hmm. to see these guys not have that opportunity to play in the playoffs, and I get there's a lot more going on in the world, but we're just looking at it from a sports perspective in this particular case. I mean, that's gut-wrenching that they're not going to get that opportunity to go back in and try to do it.
That is an absolute shot right off the hairy hockey stick to think that there's going to be no NHL playoffs, that you're not going to get a chance to see these Bruins, who I had sort of likened. You remember a couple years back when the Kansas City Royals went to Game 7 and lost the World Series
to the
Giants. Then they came back the next year on fire and beat the Mets in 5. Like they left money on the table. And they came back to get it, and they got it forcefully and, you know, ended a long drought for that team since the 1980s. It's obviously not been that long a drought for the Bruins because it's only been since June 2011. But that's what I felt like the mission was for the Bruins this year, was to get back and finish the job that they had started and came within a whisper of doing last year. And to not get a chance to do that, yes, Pasta, yes, McAvoy will continue to make good on it. Who knows if Tuca's going to give a consideration to retirement, how much more you're going to get out of Bergeron, who is just an ageless wonder. The man is unbelievable. I feel like Bergeron's been playing hockey since the early 2000s.
He's
been around for a long time, and yet he's as consistent and as durable and as clutch as anyone who has ever put that uniform on. Maybe you could dare say he's one of the more underrated Boston sports stars. Not that that's a segue to the bit. We'll get to that in a little bit, but because this is the most important news right now. But,
yeah.
Man, I'm sorry, Bees fans. If you don't get a chance to see this team play any more relevant hockey this year, we obviously have greater priorities and concerns, but I'm just glad they made that call today. I'm glad that, you know, in absence of having what Bill Simmons calls the sports czar, that the president got on board with this, had a call, because they realize how important it is just for the morale of the country, let alone for the economy as well. I mean, we're talking about billions. Billions.
Yeah. Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. The number is 617-779-7937. Adam Schefter tweeting out, in a conference call with major league sports commissioners on Saturday, President Donald Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. He also said that he told commissioners that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, though that is currently unclear if medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid the current coronavirus pandemic. So that's what happened on the conference call today between the president and the commissioners of the major sport leagues. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's go to Todd. He's in Plymouth. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Thanks for continuing the show.
My pleasure. Thanks for chiming in, buddy.
Man, I had to call in for the first time after that tool bag that just called.
Are you talking about high stakes Jake from Boston?
Dude, that's the reason why we have the word masshole. Seriously. So I've been a season ticket holder for the last 17 years, and as much as we're all sad to see Brady go, I'm at peace with it. I mean, It's time. Enough is enough. Like, even if we sign him for 2 years, these tool bag fans would be like, well, how about two more? How about two? Like, when's it ever going to end? You know what I mean? And seeing him in the one game was when he played in Houston. I went to that game and sat on the 50-yard line first row. He's lost his step. I'm sorry. And it's time to move on, you know, and it's just it's frustrating that fans just can't accept the fact that it's going to come to an end at some point. So the other topic I wanted to talk about, anybody like that tool bag that wants to say anything negative about Robert Kraft right now belongs in a hospital. And I'll say one thing. The only reason why I think he went public with what he did was so that other billionaire owners will step up, like the Jerry Jones of the world, and do a great thing that he did to try and get this country back to where it needs to be so we can live normal lives. We can have sports and move on. And that's all I have to say. I'll listen to what you guys' thoughts were. But I don't think Kraft needs a pat on the back or any – the guy's a billionaire. He doesn't need anything to create more money. You know what I mean? And for people to think for the second that he did it for, ooh, it's because we let Tom Brady go. Like, what a tool bag statement that was. Robert Kraft did something out of the good heartness of him and his family because they can afford to do it, and I applaud him. And I applaud anybody that will do that going forward to help this nemesis.
I appreciate the call, Todd.
Couldn't agree more, Todd. Thank you, man. Stay healthy. Be well. I mean, when you read stories about people having to use recycled masks, when doctors are treating people and intubating folks that are coming within a breath of their life, and they can't even get the personal protective equipment, an N95 mask, or they're using dirty gloves, or they're using... you know, shields that they had to fabricate or reconstitute themselves. And Kraft goes out and does this when there's an issue with fighting red tape over which state gets which masks and who gets the gear and which part of the federal government decides who gets to allocate what equipment to wear. And Kraft basically helps them cut through the red tape and the word I would love to say that I'll have to use the abbreviation BS for, and just goes directly to the source, takes care of it and says, here you go, Governor Baker. I know you had an issue trying to get what you needed. I took care of it for you. Thank you. Probably something blah, blah. We are all patriots. That's what you do. That's what you do when you have compassion, empathy, and billions. And we're in the middle of a crisis. You do this. And someone wants to try to, like, rattle the airwaves by saying Kraft did this to cover up for Tom Brady leaving? Do me a favor. Anyone who thinks like that, please make way to Clearwater, root for the Bucks, and don't ever cheer for the Patriots again.
Right. Well, because Kraft didn't handle the Brady situation as the Brady homers would have liked him to handle it. That's why he made
We've all said as much that we thought he did a little too much overcompensation.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he handled the Brady thing was a joke. I mean, and I actually agree with them on the move, moving on from Brady at this point in time. It was not worth giving him a two-year extension based on the team that's here. They weren't winning a Super Bowl with Brady. They weren't good enough to win it last year. They couldn't even put up what? They put up 13 points against the Titans in the playoffs. They couldn't beat the Dolphins in Week 17. In my mind, it wasn't worth giving Brady that extension. I agreed with the move the organization made. What I didn't agree with is Kraft on Monday or Tuesday when Brady makes the announcement that he's leaving. Kraft calling Stephen A. Smith and saying it was Tom's choice. That, well, that's not completely true. And then on Friday, making that weird marriage analogy, basically blaming Bill for the whole thing, so taking no blame. I didn't like that. But to say that for some reason he's trying to make up for everything that happened with the Brady backlash or the Brady bad PR, that's why he decided to send his plane out to get the mask, that just makes no sense whatsoever. If Brady was here with a two-year contract, Kraft would have done the same damn thing. And it's an interesting point he makes about the fact maybe what Kraft is trying to do is get the attention of other people, if he's doing this, I don't know, it's just a theory he had, of trying to basically put pressure on other billionaires to do things along these lines. Hey, well, if it works out that way, great.
That's right. Thank you, Todd in Plymouth, for bringing that up. Kraft could actually, you know, shake a couple tail feathers and rattle a few cages and get people to turn around and do the same themselves. Like, yeah, why not get Jerry Jones? Why not get some of these other guys? I know Steve Ballmer is losing a lot of money as the, you know, the Microsoft king with the Clippers, and they just bought the Forum. Who knows? Maybe they can do something if it gets worse in Los Angeles. Like, help, you know, those who have should help out those who don't. And right now, the have-nots are the people that are performing these godly services and putting their lives on the line every day. So what can a guy like you or I do? I don't know. Maybe stitch a couple masks, help a few neighbors in need, deliver groceries to someone who needs it, or chip in a couple bucks here and there. What can Robert Kraft do? Exactly what he just did, and he should be applauded for it.
Right. There was no other thing on his mind besides trying to help people in a time of need. Like, I don't understand why people are going to this conspiracy theory. Let's get to Buddy. He's in a car. What's up, Buddy?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on,
man?
Can you hear me? I got some Bluetooth on.
We got you, man.
That's a lot of echo in that car. You got a big car.
Well, actually, this is my alias. I called him with my real name, you know, because I'm a true and real Fitzy from Foxborough. And it's always been a dream of mine, Nick, to call Fitzy as Fitzy. But regardless, I have a day job. So
well, thanks.
My takes are
appreciate you call. Appreciate you calling, pal. What's on your mind?
Hey. Nothing. That call made me sick. These Jamel Hill trolling. What is the point? And for one, like, it hit, you know, that was the reason why I called. And I have a couple points I want to get to real quick. But, like, my wife is an ER nurse. My mother's an ICU nurse, 67 years old, Brigham and Women. My brother works in the ER. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, why even bother, for one? You know, so that just makes me sick. And thank you guys for ripping into that. You have made all the points, and I don't need to elaborate on it. For one, I'm not a big fan of Tua, probably just because he's a lefty and the whole, I mean,
right.
Who, Steve Young, Mark Brunell, it's just, it looks weird,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's like,
Vic.
True. How can you forget him? You
know, quick Simpsons reference, where is he going to shop, at the Leftorium?
But I don't know, I guess it's something to get used to. He's a winner, he's good, and, you know, it is what it is. I just don't think giving up, you know, a lot of capital for that, it makes sense, especially when you got the kid and stuff. But I wanted, I heard someone mention this the other night, and the opportunity to potentially trade Gilmore. And immediately I was like, no way. And then I started to think about it, kind of makes sense. You know, granted, Bill has always had, you know, the number 24, you know, alpha dog cornerback. But I mean, at this point, I mean, I'd like to think that was the climax of his career. He's probably, you know, his value will never be higher. He does have a great contract, 2 years left, but I mean, you got to think about some of that draft capital. Someone mentioned the Jalen Ramsey, you know, that
two first rounders.
And that's a position of strength. I think that that's maybe another reason why, you know, the McCourty band is back here. Like, hey, you know, obviously continuity with the leadership change of Brady, but I can see them, and that probably is an impetus for, you know, paying Tooney and franchising him. But I would be okay with moving on from Stephon Gilmore, assuming that the return was on par with a Jalen Ramsey type. Just something to kick around. You guys can, you know, take that where it goes. But Barrett, I'm just curious too. This you know, you kind of came out of nowhere. I enjoy you thoroughly. I'm just can you expand on your background, kind of where you're from, what you do?
Oh, all right, yeah. Well, I appreciate.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, well, thank you, Fitzy, from Foxborough. He's a contract killer who's got a really good voice and knows his sports.
I've been here for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I did a lot of national stuff for SB Nation Radio. I did a TV show for a while on BN Sports with former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury. I've been here doing shifts for about a year and a half now.
Yeah. So he's a utility. You're kind of like, you're in that.
Yeah, I'm kind of all over the map.
You're in the
man.
Brock Holt role. Like, wherever we need you to play, whatever we need you to do on any given night, that's what Barrett's available for.
Yeah, and enjoying these Saturday shifts, too.
I got to say, me too. I got to say, I'm surprised that as many people aren't in on Tua as you would think, given his pedigree, his record, his stats, who he played for. But, you know, a texter pointed out to you a little while ago that Fourier had said that he wasn't so in on him. So I texted Fourier, and he said back that it's true that he wasn't that in on him and thinks that maybe that though he did come in and help out Jalen Hurts, and Jalen Hurts helped him out in another game as well, that maybe he is as much a product of the system and the fact that he had an incredible offensive line and two of the best wide receivers maybe to come out of college football in a long time, let alone in this wide receiver-rich draft. I know what I've seen, and I, you know, I'm not going to say that I watch more college football than Mark James, but I do watch a lot of college football. I know Mark James is a college fan, and I respect his knowledge of the college football game, but I've seen an awful lot of Tua, man. I think this kid can play.
And it's such a unique situation.
He's if just you got could, it.
And the thing that Ben Volen from The Globe pointed out in his article in The Globe and what he was talking to us today about is it's unique because the Lions are desperate for veteran players, right? Mm-hmm. Ordinarily, if you had the third pick, you'd be looking for more draft capital in the future. But they need veterans so those two guys, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, can keep their job. So it's a unique chance to get a guy that was considered before the season the best player in the draft. We had Tank for Tua. So it totally makes sense from that perspective. And the other thing I would counter with is Joe Burrow, he had NFL receivers too, and Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, he's right. Somebody that's going to go, he's going to be the first receiver taken next year. He's just not eligible. And
correct.
With these Alabama quarterbacks through the years, all of them have had these type of weapons. Tua's the only guy that had this type of prolific mm-hmm. passing season. Look at guys through the years. Greg McElroy had Julio Jones, right?
Right.
So you think about Amari Cooper's there with A.J. McCarron, and those mm-hmm. guys had Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram around them. This is the guy that put up the numbers, and they built the offense this way because they had the player that could do that. Jalen Hurts, good college player. He wasn't putting up the passing yardage that a guy like Tua was.
No, he can run, but I'll tell you this. Jalen Hurts is a really interesting prospect because he can run, his throwing game improved, and he's got a couple years of Saban and now a year of Lincoln Riley under his belt. He's got a lot of tools. He's got a lot of tools to play with at this point. I could see him. He was originally pegged somewhere as like a third-round pick. I could see if there's that run on quarterbacks in the draft in 2.5 weeks, and everyone starts getting itchy on grabbing someone who could be their signal caller of the future, I can see, I won't call it a panic trade, but a big move being made for someone who doesn't want to lose out on him later in the third where he should go, and jumping up maybe second round or even end of the first.
Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you, the number 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Tua conversation, certainly welcome to do so. Would you pull the trigger if you were the Patriots? Plus, we'll give you a trending in just a second here on WEI.
OMF, weekdays from 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. President Trump had a conference call with all the major sports commissioners today to address the issues surrounding the coronavirus pandemic. He'll have a press briefing that's scheduled for about 10 minutes from now. Adam Schefter reporting that on the conference call with Major League Sports commissioners on Saturday, President Trump said he believes the NFL season should start on time in September. Schefter also tweeting that President Trump told the commissioners that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September, though it is currently unclear if medical experts find that to be a realistic timeline amid the current coronavirus pandemic. Meanwhile, former Patriots receiver Antonio Brown has been charged in connection with a January incident. A delivery truck driver alleged Brown and his trainer assaulted him outside of Brown's South Florida home. Brown has officially been charged with burglary, conveyance, misdemeanor battery, and misdemeanor criminal mischief. Former Celtic Kevin Garnett is part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class. Garnett was a 15-time NBA All-Star. He helped lead the Seas to the title in 08. Garnett was also named the Defensive Player of the Year that season. The late, great Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan also part of the class. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is WEEI.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
It's hard for me to imagine football being played in a stadium full of 70,000 screaming fans the way we've seen. Like, I'm sure at some point we'll get back to that once there's a vaccine developed for the COVID virus. But without being a doctor or scientist, I can't imagine that that's going to be September. Now, I think that somehow they'll play football. There's just too much money in it not to, from a television standpoint. But, is it going to be opening day in Foxborough, sold-out stadium, fans screaming?
Yeah.
I don't think we're seeing that.
All right, that was Adam Schefter on with OMF yesterday, talking about the possibility of when the NFL could return. And to update on that, Adam Schefter tweeted out just a little while ago after President Trump met with all the commissioners from the various sports league. He said that President Trump said he hopes to have fans back in the stadiums and arenas by August and September. So Schefter saying yesterday he doesn't expect it to happen in September, and President Trump saying today to those commissioners that he does think that it could happen by September. By the way, one other thing I wanted to mention real quickly here is I've heard a lot of this throughout this area for the past like 3 weeks or so. Everybody keeps referencing Bill Belichick's record without Tom Brady, like going back to his days with the Browns. And regardless of the quarterback situation was a mess in Cleveland, he took a bad team 1 year there that he completely turned around, brought them to the playoffs. But the one thing I'd like to point out, do we not think that Bill Belichick is a better coach now than he was with the Cleveland Browns? Like, isn't there the possibility that Bill Belichick's a lot better at doing this than he was then? Even if you're just going to say, oh, yeah, well, he wasn't great without Brady, he wasn't good with the Browns, isn't there a slight possibility that Belichick's actually better at doing this? Because I do remember about 2 years ago in the Super Bowl against the Los Angeles Rams, who was the highest scoring team in the NFC that year, Belichick's defense held him to 3 points.
Fifth highest scoring offense of all time heading into that Super Bowl.
And his offense didn't do anything in that game, yet his defense carried the offense. I just think there's this thing called improving. And I think that Belichick may have improved since going back to his days as the Cleveland Browns head coach. I don't think that's out of the question. So everybody keeps pointing to this record when Belichick was like 20, 25 years younger, as if he didn't get any better. It just doesn't make sense to me. That's not a good argument for why Belichick can't be good after Brady.
You mean learning from past mistakes, preventing yourself from repeating them and improving as you age? That's the idea that you're getting at here? No, never. Can never possibly happen. Going back to judge Bill Belichick now, coaching the Patriots, with Bill Belichick in the mid-90s on the Browns during a tenure which he probably was taken away from too quickly because he had that team and he was improving with that team as well. I know he only made the playoffs 1 year out of four. He was damned to never be liked around there because he replaced Kozar in the first place. So they were never gonna love him, even though he actually got them to the playoffs and a win against, ironically, the Patriots as well. I think it's asinine to say that there's no chance Belichick could win without Brady. I'm a Brady over Belichick guy just a little bit because I know the players play and that's who gets it done. But if anyone is going to put them in a position to stay competitive or at least not pee down their leg when they lose the greatest player of all time, it's going to be Belichick. I mean, it's as clear as day.
Yeah, and to me, the lack of faith that people have here with Belichick based on a couple of draft picks over the past couple of years, as that's like evidence that Belichick can't build a roster. I mean, those people are crazy. And when has Belichick's bad draft picks ever hurt him building a roster? Anytime they get rid of guys, they pick up free agents that end up being really good players, or they trade for guys like Kyle Van Noy,
right,
who end up working out for the team. So never has Belichick's missing on draft picks really hurt the team in terms of the production on the field.
Well, some will point to first. Some will say, oh, yeah, he did it with Castle in 2008. But that was because they had an easy schedule and they had the 2007 roster. Okay. Oh, well, last year he got out-coached by Vrabel and by Flores. He's losing a little bit. Fine, if that's what's going to help you be comfortable tonight. Oh, he keeps blowing all these draft picks as well. Like, he's never going to do it. Brady was the secret sauce that made up for all of Belichick's mistakes. Okay, well, Belichick also helped out Brady plenty when it counted, like you said, beating the Rams. Like no one to put Butler and Browner there on that formation against the Seahawks back in Super Bowl 49. It's not sexy that they suited each other and that they were compatible, and the success of the Patriots was something that it was the partnership. Like they just sort of like completed the whole circle, but that's not what people want to hear, because they need to hear like, oh, it was one or it was the other. And I just think that's an old narrative.
Right, and also, like, people point out...
complimentary football, if you will.
Right, when people counter the Castle year where Belichick went 11-5, and as you point out, they say, oh, well, they had this great roster. Who put the roster together?
Mm-hmm.
Belichick put the roster together. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that with a quarterback that had one okay season in Kansas City, but really didn't turn out to be a great starting quarterback, a below-average starter, a backup, he won 11 games with that guy because he put together a great roster.
And let's not talk about the dimes that he's turned into dollars with picking up Danny Shelton for nothing and reviving his career and turning him into a Super Bowl champion who just got paid in Detroit, or picking up Jason McCourty and bringing him to the playoffs where he makes one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl 53. Jonathan Casillas, who comes in and is a key special teamer and linebacker. Akeem Ayers, who helps take down Marshawn Lynch on the one to set up the Malcolm Butler play. Kyle Van Noy, it could go on and on.
And Trent Brown, there's a million
Trent
of these
Brown
guys.
And the undraft, like, do the undrafted guys not count? Because Malcolm Butler was a great find. J.C. Jackson seems like a pretty good find as well.
Yeah, hey, that's the thing. So people point out, well, what about Rozay Downing? Okay, well, he got Malcolm Butler undrafted. He got J.C. Jackson undrafted. He got Jonathan Jones undrafted. So doesn't that
make
up?
What about Taylor Price? Okay, how about Julian Edelman?
Exactly. That's the thing that pisses me off, is people only look at the draft picks. And in the draft, you can take a lot more chances. You can take more chances on guys with high upsides that if they don't work out, Belichick knows it on the back end of the roster. Once he gets guys into the system, he's able to build them up. 617-779-7937. The number, Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. Let's check in with Mike in Framingham. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? Two things. First off, that idiot that called earlier complaining about the McCourty twins. Does he understand how the salary cap works? They didn't take money away from Brady. They didn't think Brady was worth the money. So if it was Patrick Mahomes, they would have paid the money.
No, seriously,
it
wouldn't
matter if McCourty twins were there.
Mike, honest to God, when I say this, please don't take it the wrong way. That guy Jake from Boston almost makes me made me feel bad about being a Pats fan, or like I don't want to root for Jake from Boston's Patriots. Sorry.
Well, for a minute, I thought you guys were like American Idol. You know how they have like those idiots and they keep them on for a long time. The early season of American Idol.
Wait, we just wanted to let it keep going, Mike, because it was getting better. As the call went on, he kept digging himself a bigger hole. It just kept getting better. We had to keep him going.
Mike, you're saying that was our William Hung of sports radio callers?
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. And then the other thing, too, when people complain about Belichick, he's been doing this for 20 years. I dare you to compare any other coach in the history to Belichick. And the only one... If anything, then say Joe Gibbs is the greatest coach of all time because he won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks, if you're going to use that logic.
That's a good point. Yeah, appreciate the call, Mike. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. How many other guys have done it with multiple quarterbacks? Bill Parcells with Phil Simms and Hostetler, who was horrible, and they won a Super Bowl. But outside of that...
Bill Walsh, because it was Seifert who was coaching them when they had Steve Young.
And if you think about it through the years, and... The only guy would be Joe Gibbs, Bill Parcells. That's pretty much it. Jimmy Johnson won it with Aikman twice.
Right.
And all these other guys have had the same
quarterback. And then Barry Switzer won it with Aikman, but that's
You or I could have won that Super Bowl. Yeah. I mean, that was by far the best. I mean, and that's an example of that could have been Belichick before Belichick. Mm-hmm. What Jimmy Johnson did with that team, the Herschel Walker trade, built up this roster. And that shows you what Robert Kraft learned from the Parcells experiment. Okay, I'm going to let Belichick do his thing now. Unlike Jerry Jones, who said, oh, I need more credit for everything going on in Dallas. So I'm going to get rid of, at the time, the best coach in the NFL because I want more credit. I'm going to bring in Barry Switzer, and it just went to hell after that.
Here's another thing that gets overlooked all the time in people's blind Brady rage. Now, we know Brady is going to be motivated. It's been in his stories. He's said it in social media. Now he's calling himself Warm Weather Tom. He's going to talk to Howie Hamptons this week. And I know, and look, I can't wait to see what he's like, you know, throwing the ball to Howard and Brate and Godwin and Evans, just like the other Patriots fan that's disappointed he's not here anymore. But do you not think, just for every little bit that Brady is motivated next season, that McDaniels and Belichick won't be motivated as well to take the team that most people think is like a bag of balls and spare parts and turn them into, well, if they go 10-6, the just rename the Coach of the Year trophy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't begin to imagine.
Well, it should be the Belichick trophy already.
He's got the most of them. That's what they should rename the VLT, for goodness sakes. But how people are overlooking the motivation of Belichick and McDaniels this year is beyond me because, Brady's gone. They're probably just so sad they couldn't work it out. And Belichick is so arrogant. They're just going to tank this season and he'll finally get served the humble pie he deserves. Hard pass on that one, guys. Hard pass.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm interested and I'm fascinated to watch Belichick post-Brady. I want to see how this thing works out. And I understand Belichick's 67, but it looks like he hasn't aged in years. He looks like the same age for the past decade or so. It seems like, if anything, we heard Tom Brady Sr. last week saying that Tom's going to be reinvigorated by going to Tampa. Yep. I feel like you could say, as you were mentioning, basically the same thing about Belichick, that look, he had his replacement in Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the other thing I would point to in terms of the quarterbacks of the future here with the Patriots. Is the one time that the Patriots tried to find Tom Brady's replacement. All these other years, the Ryan Mallets, the Hoyers.
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, all these other guys were backups. That's all they were. They were holding clipboards. The one time Belichick identified another player to be a franchise quarterback, it was Jimmy Garoppolo. And I don't think he's as good as everybody in the world thinks he is. Everybody loves that guy. But from my perspective, that's the only other time he tried to replace Brady. He found what most people believe to be a franchise quarterback. Don't you think he's going to do it again?
And you know what he did? Had him groomed and ready for when Brady was 40. When most people thought, or most people logically should have thought, that Tom Brady would be nearing, not the cliff, but just have passed over the apex of his career and be on the downside. And Brady played well past all expectations, and that kind of threw off the algorithm, or the plan, if you will, and so they had to move on from Garoppolo. But he kind of played that one, at least on paper, perfectly, and then, you know, Brady happened, and a couple more Super Bowls later, things changed.
Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you until the top of the hour. The number 617-779-7937. We'll update you on everything that went on between the President Trump, and the commissioners of the major sports leagues. When we get back, you're listening to WEI.
This is the WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
EI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett and Fitzy with you. If you're just joining us, news today as President Trump met with the commissioners of the major sport leagues. Adam Schefter on his Twitter account tweeted more on Donald Trump, telling sports commissioners today that he believes the NFL should start on time in September. He also added that he hopes to have fans back in stadiums and arenas by August and September. So President Trump telling commissioners today he expects the NFL season to start on time in September, and he's hoping to have fans back by August and September.
Never wanted this president to be right more.
I hope it's right.
Nope. Never wanted Trump to be right more.
I really want the NFL season to start on time, and it'll be interesting to see what the NBA decides to do if we do get, and we don't know. This is all moving. It's all fluid. If we do get to August, if the NBA decides, all right, let's have our playoffs if they do decide to do that or not. It's going to be, I hope they do, because I'd love to see the playoffs no matter what happens. And if it happens in August, everybody's going to be so hyped up to see the NBA come back because there's been this long gap in between. So this week, go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say regrets and sympathies to hockey fans who probably won't get the season or the playoffs they deserve. Please, let's get some NBA playoffs, and I've never been more excited for baseball in my life, and that's the craziest thing. God, I can't. I got even golf. I'll watch NASCAR at this point. Anything.
Will you watch NBA players play video games against each other?
There is a limit. There is a cutoff to it.
Okay.
This week, the Brady week here at EEI was great. We got to hear from so many players that we grew up cheering for, who are multiple Super Bowl champions, and got to spend quality time. I recommend people go back and listen to some of the interviews. Heath Evans was great the other day, Wes Welker, Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Kevin Falk. Just some great insight, perspective, and anecdotal information and perspective these guys had from, you know, being in the trenches with him and going to and winning many Super Bowls. But the one thing that occurred to me that I did whipped up a little piece for, and I wanted to get your take on this, it's at EEI.com now, is... after we talked to Welker, I realized just how underappreciated I feel Welker is, because he was part of those bridge years with the dynamic offenses that somehow didn't win a Super Bowl. And everyone remembers Wes from the big drop in 46, but no one talks about what a glue guy he was for that offense and how much Brady depended on him. Then it got me going, who are the most underappreciated legends, most underappreciated sports stars in the history of Boston sports? And that's the piece that I whipped up on the website, and I've been getting feedback on it with some hard agrees and some angry disagrees on it. The six that I put together were Welker, Robert Parrish, which I got some guff on because he's in the Hall of Fame. Who else did I put in there?
You had Dwight Evans.
Dwight Evans.
DJ. Dennis Johnson.
Dennis Johnson, who Larry Bird says is by far the smartest player that he ever played with. Nomar Garciaparra, who I talked to Lou the other night on Facebook Live for EEI about. And he agreed. I feel like, again, these guys that are stuck during these years right before you win or right after you win, who don't come through with the championship, are guys who get a lot of crap for it. And just growing up, do you remember how big a Nomar fan you were?
Yeah, huge. I could do his whole thing, in the batter's box with the gloves.
Nomar was life for a while.
Gloves on and off, yeah.
Nomar was
awesome. Yeah. I remember when Theo made the move, I'm like, what the hell? They're trading...
For Cabrera and Minkiewicz?
For a defensive first baseman? What the hell? That's not a defensive position anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Nomar. This is a guy who's a two-time back-to-back batting champion, carried the offense, stud, best shortstop in history, at least for the franchise.
And it was Nomar, A-Rod, and Jeter. That was the debate at the time.
Oh, and Rick Middleton, nifty, was the honorary Bruins pick for that. So if anyone wants to hit me up, because I know we're going to be up against it in a second, it's at FitzyGFY. You can read the piece on WEEI.com. Who would be some of the most underappreciated Boston sports stars and legends in your mind?
Okay, so I have one from my childhood growing up watching the Celtics. So the Celtics, we all know what happened in the 90s. They sucked after the tragedy with Len Bias, and then they never got on track in the 90s. And then in comes Rick Pitino, and we don't have to go through what a mess the organization was with Rick Pitino. He gave up on Chauncey Billups after 51 games. I digress.
Terrible trade.
You drafted a player third overall, you gave up on him after 51 games, and they traded for a older Kenny Anderson. But the guy that I pointed at was Antoine Walker, because Antoine Walker at least made basketball along with Pierce, but Pierce is glorified here. Antoine Walker at least made watching the Celtics in the early 2000s interesting. They went to a conference finals. Not that I ever thought they were going to win a championship, but he had the shimmy. Remember when he was asked the question, why do you take so many threes? He said, because there's not any fours.
That's the best answer possible.
That was awesome. I thought Antoine was great. And look, I understand their shortcomings with this game. Never really played defense. But at least the Celtics, after being so bad in the 90s, they were interesting because of Antoine and Paul Pierce.
Yeah, I love reading all the replies. And to everyone who's hit me up with Drew Bledsoe, Ben Coates, and even Tom Brady, fine. All right, fair point. But it's a fun bargument to have. And Brady Week got me thinking all those good things.
All right, thanks to Eamon and Bridget for producing. Fitzy, we'll be back next Saturday. I'll be back tomorrow 1-4 as well. Coming up next, we get some classic college basketball. Kentucky and Wisconsin, by the way, just to give you a little preview, that Kentucky team was undefeated going into the game. I'm not going to tell you what happens. You're going to have to listen right here on WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.